Good morning, church. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord, amen? Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing our praises to the Lord. We're going to begin this morning by singing, Yes, I Will. And the reality is that some days life is hard. Amen? We can agree with that. But some days life throws stuff at you. And the chorus of this song says, Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. For all my days, yes, I will. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, because when times get tough, we tend to forget those things. So let's sing those words together. I invite you to stand if you're able as we sing, Yes, I Will.
You're working.
Share button so others can worship with us, and we are going to take a few moments to greet those around us and then we'll go.
Am I on? There we go. It is time to invite the kids to come forward. So kids, come on down. Anyone who's young or young at heart, anyone that can get back up after you sit down on the stairs, come on down. We'll see if I... Yesterday, and I'm feeling it today, as I'm sure many of you... All right. Are you ready? Good morning. You guys didn't give your kids their coffee this morning.
Yeah, all right. Mom.
Yeah. Let's try that.
Have coffee.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good thing. Let's try that again. Good morning. They're still waking up. Let's see if we... One of the beautiful joys we have of living in Michigan is we have all kinds of trees. In fact, most of my I lived a few years, but there's a whole lot more fields and cornfields and yeah. Well, one of the things I driving through, we have a lot of trees. Trees, and I've got a whole lot of poplar trees, and Anyone know? Nope. And what do we get from an acorn? Does anyone know what kind of tree we get from an acorn? An oak tree. So if you have an acorn, you get an oak tree. You know those little things, we call them helicopters. They come floating down like this. Those are maple seeds, right? And if you have a pine cone, when a pine cone falls to the ground, it's full of pine seeds that make pine trees, right? So if you have that specific kind of seed, like an acorn, you're not going to plant an acorn in the ground and get a maple tree, right? Because an acorn is only going to grow an oak tree. But there's this really cool thing that gardeners or farmers can do. You can take a branch off of one tree and you can graft it into another tree and it will grow. So you could take a branch from a maple tree and you could graft it into an oak tree and that maple branch could grow. Right? So that's pretty cool. I've never been able to do it. I can barely keep my houseplants alive, but that's something that you could do. And our scripture that we're going to look at today for our sermon is God says that, you know, his original plan, he called the Israelites to be his people. And then he called the Gentiles, which Gentiles is all the nations, everybody who wasn't an Israelite, everybody who wasn't Jewish. So all of us who aren't Jewish, we all got grafted in to the tree of God's family. We weren't there originally, but he grafted us in. He tied us in to his family so that we could be a part and we could continue to grow. There's another part that says that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And that if we stay close to him, we can continue to grow and bear fruit. What you got?
How can God hear us, but we can't hear God?
That's a good question. I think you asked me this the last time you were up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to ask it every time. Okay. So do I need to get a different answer each time? Yes. So her question was, how come God can hear us, but we can't hear God? That's a tough question, isn't it? Right? We pray and we talk to God, and there are different ways that we hear God. We have the Bible, which is one way that God talks to us, so we can read what God has to say. Sometimes, so when we accept Jesus, it says that he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit can talk to us through nudges, telling us maybe we should do this and we shouldn't do that. We have this thing called a conscience. Have you heard of that word before? No, that's kind of a big word. We have a conscience. The Holy Spirit kind of talks to us. Some people say that they have heard God's voice, and maybe you'll hear that someday, but God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for each of these young people up here today. We pray that you would continue to work in their lives, continue to grow in them and grow a knowledge of who you are and who you're calling them to be. God, help us to remember that you've grafted us into the tree of your family. You've called us to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, two things. After we're done here, there's a celebration for you guys to go to downstairs. But before you do that, it's noisy change. So can you guys help me with noisy change? We're going to pass the buckets and everybody's going to put their noisy change in the buckets. Can you do that? All right.
Thank you.
You just set on the step there. And then you guys can head on downstairs.
I'm missing a bucket yet.
Oh, there it is. Thank you for your help. You guys can go downstairs and, oh.
Miss Dawn is right in the back there. You can go right down the center aisle here and follow Miss Dawn.
Right downstairs for a little celebration. All right. It is graduation season. Graduations and so recognize and celebrate graduates. So we're going to do that this morning. Mike working if I stand right here? All right. There's some weird interference up here. If I stand in just the right spot, it doesn't work. So I can't move. I'm going to stand right here. So I'm going to ask Deb to come up here. Deb is a part of our diaconate committee, and we have gifts for our graduates. So I know not all of our graduates could be here this morning, but we're going to read off the names of all of our graduates. And if you're here, I'd ask that you please and stand up here with us. So we have Alyssa Cooper, who is graduating from Robertsdale High School in Alabama. She is the granddaughter of Randy and Margaret Cook. Jody Galvin, a name from somewhere. She received her doctorate degree in education from Alverno College in Milwaukee. So I'm required to call her Dr. Jody now. Brooke Hopkins graduates with her Bachelor of Arts in Public Policy with a minor in Peace and Justice Studies from Michigan State University. Landon Hopkins graduated from Central Montcalm High School here in Stanton. Skylar Arlene Jones graduated from Hudsonville High School. She is the granddaughter of Jim Jones. Maya K. Kelly graduated from Jackson High School and an associate's degree in Arts and General Studies from Jackson College. She is the daughter of Carrie and Jeff Beal and Ted and Kelly and Carrie Bilodeau and the granddaughter of Sally Murray. Waylon Lingaman graduated from Central Montcalm High School. He is the son of Sarissa and Jim Langeman, grandson of Chad Jorgensen, and great-grandson of Jack and Donna Jorgensen. Alicia Morseau got her LPN from Grand Rapids Community College. She is the niece of Randy and Margaret Cook. Kara Cias graduated from Rockford High School. And Did I say your last name right? Sias, Kara Sias. She is the granddaughter of Nancy Phoenix. Daniel James Shaw graduated from Springfield High School in Springfield, Ohio. He is also the grandson of Jim Jones. And last but definitely not least, Zaylin Vandersher graduated with his He graduated with his Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology with a minor in Spanish, and he graduated magna cum laude, which is awesome, from Central Michigan University. And he is, we all know who Zaylin is, but he's the son of Dave and Jennifer Vandersher. So let's give them another round of applause. Congratulations. Thanks, Deb. All right, we are going to continue our worship through our joyful giving. And I do give another heads up. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that you can always get a snapshot of our financial report on the back of your bulletin. Today, you see that our year-to-date needs are $1,500. Our year-to-date contributions have been $4,900. So we're almost 11. the struggle. You know, as the trustees and as the board, we try to present a balanced budget to the church. And we tried to do that this year, and it's a struggle to fall short, but I want to make sure that we're aware of that, that we're aware of the situation, and that we're always praying that God will continue to provide. So we're going to give our tithes and our offerings. Invite the ushers to come forward. This is our reminder to us that everything we have is a gift from God, that we give back with cheerful hearts out of obedience and to this church. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you give to us, for the ways that you continue to provide for us. God, we pray that you will continue to provide for this church, continue to provide financially for this ministry. God, we've been here for 150 years, and God, we want to be here for 150 more. So we pray that you will continue to bless this place, bless this congregation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to spend some time together in prayer, and I've been trying to start a new practice for us during our prayer time where we have an opportunity. I know that there are many people in your family, in your community that you know need prayer that I may not be aware of. So I'm asking you to just shout out, and when you say a name, we're all going to say together, in Jesus' name, amen. So if you know anybody who needs prayer, just shout out their name. Jesus' name, amen. In 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 Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to lift our prayers to the Lord. We're going to finish this time by saying together the Lord's Prayer. If you need the words, they are printed in your bulletin. Before I do that, I do have one more prayer request. It's written down here so I won't forget, and I just saw it. I got a phone call just this morning from Bill Lacey, and Steve has leukemia. And he's at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing right now, so we're going to keep Steve in our prayers as well. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather in this place to worship. God, we acknowledge that some days it's hard to praise you. Because ourselves in our we get busy, we get frustrated, we struggle with difficult and anxiety and grief. And God says, we have to remind ourselves of your faithfulness. And we gather in this place to do just that. We gather here to remind ourselves of who you are and who you're calling us to be. God, help us to praise you on the good days and on the difficult days. Help us to rest in you on all of those days. Help us to trust in your steadfast love. God, we confess to you that we've fallen short. This week, already today, God, we fall short regularly. We say things that are hurtful to the people that we care about the most. We do things that are hurtful. We miss opportunities to be your hands and feet. God, we confess that to you this morning. We give that to you. We ask for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. And God, we pray that you would continue to be closer to you each day. And God, as we gather here, we have so much to be thankful for. There are so many ways that you have poured out your love into our lives. There are so many ways that you have blessed us. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the homes that we have and the jobs that we have and the cars to get from place to place. And even more importantly, God, we thank you for the relationships, the family, for this family that we can gather together and worship with and live life together and support one another. And God, we thank you for your sacrifice that made it possible for us to be reconciled to you. And God, we lift up all those names that have been said today. And we think of Bob and Elsie and Fritz and Shirley and Scott and Barb and Steve and all those other names, God. We know that you know exactly what each of them needs. And God, we pray for that today. Lord, hear us now as we pray the way you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we're going to sing together, O Deep Love of Jesus. It's hymn number 24 in your hymnals. And all three verses, I invite you to stand.
Jesus, as the man, as man, as man.
was... I was adopted. I don't remember it, of course. There was no grand realization, no great courtroom drama. Quiet. That's always been part of my life. I was chosen. I was brought into a family that wasn't mine by birth, but it became mine by love. Now, growing up, I didn't think too deeply about it. It wasn't something that I was on my mind all the time. I looked like my family. We shared the same culture and the same faith and dinners around the same table. But as I'm older, I've come to see that adoption isn't so much just a part of my story as it is a part of God's story. Because adoption is one of the ways that God talks about how he works. He brings in those who were once outside. He grafts in the wild branches and he calls them his own. That's what Paul is talking about here in Romans 11. He uses the image of an olive tree. And he says something incredible, that God, in his mercy, has grafted us, wild, unexpected, undeserving branches, into a promise that we didn't originate, but now we're fully a part of. So today, I want to talk about what it means to be grafted in to the promise. Because this is a word of grace. It's a word of warning, and it's a word of hope, not just for us, but for everyone who wonders if they still belong, if they can still be included, and if they're too far gone for God's grace. Spoiler alert, they're not, and neither are you, and neither am I, because the gardener knows how to graft. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 24. Paul says, "So I ask, did they meaning the Israelites, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, then so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now you share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but it is the root that supports you. Then you will say, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in to their own olive tree? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you follow all that? Let's try. So he starts by saying, we don't start with belonging, we are brought in. Right at the beginning, he says, so I asked, did they stumble in order they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles. We know the story, we've read the story, that God chose the Israelites to be his people. And throughout history, God worked with the Israelites through their failures and through their triumphs, through times of war and times of peace. He continued to be the God of Israel. And Jesus comes to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, and he raises from the dead and conquers death so that we can be reconciled with God and have the promise of eternal life. And the Israelites, they can't see it. And because the Israelites rejected Jesus, the message goes to the whole world. We didn't belong to begin with, but God grafted us in. He brought us in to his family. So Paul, he's answering that question. Did God give up on his people? No. Of course he didn't give up on his people, but he's using us, he's bringing us into the family, and he's saving us, but he's also using us to bring Israel back as well. So Israel's falling, their stumbling, it's not the end of their story, it's the beginning of our story. You see, the gospel message is not a closed circle. It is God continuously, always widening the circle. So just like adoption, I didn't start out a part of the Bennett family, but I was brought in. And in the same way, God brings us in to his family. The promise was never ours to begin with, and yet we're fully a part of it now. And Paul continues that we are grafted by grace, not performance. In verse 13, he says, now I'm speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. He's saying, we're not grafted in because we belong here. We're not grafted in because of our performance. We're not grafted in because of who we are. We are grafted in by grace alone because God has mercy on us. He didn't bring us in to replace Israel. It's interesting. Paul says he brought us in to Israel jealous. So God didn't use our inclusion as a power play, but as a redemptive move. Now, you've heard me use this story of a car before, right? When we talk about this gift of grace, we try to find ways of helping us understand what grace is. And I've used this illustration before where I said, okay, Loie, I'm going to offer you a car. It has nothing to do with who you are or anything you've done. I'm just offering it to you as a free gift. And all you have to do is take the keys and it's yours, right? That's what grace is like. God offers us a free gift. We didn't pay for it. It's not because God offers it to us for free. Now, if I offer all of you a free car, and some of you go, I'm a Ford guy. I don't want that Chevy. That's really not the kind of car I want. You know, I really was hoping for something red. That black isn't going to work for me. And you reject that. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go out into the community and find somebody else that wants the car. And once you see me, people, wait a minute, maybe I do want that car. This is what Paul is talking about, right? This gift was offered to the Israelites and they rejected it, and so he goes out. God sends him out to this free gift in hopes that Israel will see the power of this free gift and go, hey, wait a minute. I want some of that. I want to be a part of that. We're not measured by performance. We do this all the time, right? In our world, we measure things by performance, right? We measure our graduates by their grade point average. How often do you get asked what your grade point average was? Not very often. Congratulations for being magna cum laude. That's awesome. That's a great accomplishment. But when you go for a job interview, are they going to say, so Zalen, what's your grade point average? Probably not, right? But that's how we often measure things. We go, well, I accomplished this and I did this, and that's not how God measures us. When I was adopted, I didn't earn my way into this family. I'd done nothing. Done nothing, sir, but lay there in dirty diapers. I offered nothing. But they accepted me. They brought me in. It was somebody else's decision based on love, not performance. And that's how grace works. We are grafted in. We are not self-made branches. Paul continues and he talks about the root. We are nourished by a root that isn't ours. He says, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole lump is holy. If the root is holy, then so are the branches. And he says, we're grafted in and we're supported by that root. We don't support the root. The root supports us, and it's not even our root. The root is holy. Now, scholars differ on what the root is. Is the root Abraham, or is it the patriarchs, or is it Christ himself? It doesn't matter. Scripture tells us that the root is holy, and because we're grafted in to the root, we become holy. We don't become holy because of what we do or how we act or if we behave right. We become holy because we are connected to Jesus. We become holy because we're connected to the root, and the root is holy. Now, I want to back up just a little bit, give us some context. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I want to remind us that so what's happening here in the church. So in the year AD 49, the emperor of Rome, his name was Claudius, and he expelled all of the Jews from Rome. So the church had already been established, and now in AD 49, the expelled. So the Jews, the Gentiles are left to run the church. And then a few years later, in AD 54 or 55, the Emperor Claudius died, and all the Jews came back into Rome. And they come back to this church that has now been run by the Gentiles for the last 5 or 6 years. And they're trying to figure out how all this works. And Paul is talking to the Gentiles here, and he's saying, yes, you've been grafted in. You are part of the family, but the root isn't yours. Don't be arrogant. Don't look down Jewish brothers and sisters because they were gone for a while and came back. The root supports us. We don't support the root. You know, my family's story became my story. It wasn't my story to begin with, but as I became a part of the family, I was grafted into that root long before I was there. It wasn't my root, but I was grafted in. I became a part. So Paul continues. He says, faith holds us in place, not entitlement. This is the warning. He says, then you will say, branches were so that I could be grafted in. God took those branches out of the way to make room for me. I must be more important. I must be better. He says, through faith, but don't become proud But for if God didn't spare the natural branches when they were unbelieving, what makes you think he's going to spare you if you don't continue in your belief? Don't become arrogant. The branches that were broken off, they were broken off because they couldn't accept who Jesus is. And Paul's warning is clear. Do not confuse grace with entitlement. In a small town like Stanton, it's easy to think that with history, coming from the right family, having the right family name, or having some thing in your history that makes you somebody. There's always a bit of separation between those who have lived here their whole lives and those of us who have transplanted in. Gospel says you are not here because of your background. You are not here because of your name. You are not here because of your pedigree. You are here because God grafted you in, because God adopted you into his family. And I want you to hear this. This is important. If we forget that, we risk becoming gatekeepers of a grace that never belonged to us in the first place. I want to say that again. If we forget that, we risk becoming gatekeepers of a grace that never belonged to us in the first place. And I think that this is a huge problem in the American church today. Too many people in the American church, we want to be the gatekeepers. We want to decide who's in and who's out. We want to get to say, well, this person can be in, but that person can't be in, or this group of people can be in, but those people, they don't have any right to be here. And who gets to make those decisions? Not us. Not us. And when we remember, when we have that humility to remember that by grace we were grafted in, that humility allows us to go, I don't have all the answers. We're going to continue to study God's word and figure this out as we go, but we are never going to have all the answers about who's in and who's out. And lastly, Paul says, there is always for one more. He says in verse 23, and even they, the Israelites, if they don't continue in their unbelief, if they're willing to come back, God has the power to graft them in again. Even though they've been broken off because of their unbelief, if they change their mind and they decide to accept who Jesus is, God has the power to graft them in again. Any of those people who we want to say, well, those people can't be in, God has the power to change lives. God has the power to graft people in when they turn to him. Just as when we repented and turned to him, he was willing and able to graft us in, he will graft in anyone who comes to him. Restoration is always possible. It was possible for Israel. It was possible for the prodigal son. It's possible for the skeptic, for the outcast. Adoption isn't just a past event. It's a present belonging. The invitation is still open. And if God was able to graft in people like us, how much more can he bring others home as well? So our call today is to live like we've been grafted in by grace. When I look back on my adoption story, what strikes me most isn't just that I was brought in to a new family, but it's that I was never treated like I didn't belong. There was no footnote next to my name, no asterisk next to my name. They didn't put a mark next to me in all the pictures. I was just treated like I belonged. In fact, it's interesting. If you look at family pictures, you'd never know that I was adopted. In fact, I remember the very first church I worked at as a youth pastor, one of my first Sundays there, my was there, my parents were there, and my Grandpa Bennett was there, and the pastor asked them to stand up. They stood up, and my dad's, he was 6'4", and my grandpa was 6'3", and they stood up, and the pastor looked at me, and he looked at me, and he says, apple didn't fall far from the tree, does it? And we just looked at each other and smiled and nodded, because we knew. But I was never treated as if I didn't belong. And that's what Paul is getting at with this image of the olive tree. Once you're grafted in, you become a part of the tree. You become a part of the tree. We're part of the same promise, the same story, the same grace. And it wasn't because we earned it. It was only because of God's mercy and grace. But listen, grace should never make us proud. It should make us humble, grateful, open-hearted. Because if God can graft us in, if God can graft me in, he can graft anyone. And that's what we have to remember. No matter how far they've wandered, no matter how broken their story might be. So here's Paul. Stop acting like we own the tree. Let's be the kind of people, let's be the kind of church that makes room for others to be grafted in. So this week I challenge you to do two things. First, pray specifically for somebody who is cut off, who feels cut off from faith, from community, from hope. Name them and lift them up in prayer. And second, make the phone call. Pick up the phone and call. Maybe it's just a kind word that they need. Maybe you need to say, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. Let's talk. And remind them that they're not alone. They don't have to be stuck on the outside. Because our gardener, our God, he knows how to graft. Amen? Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to live as if we've been grafted in, to live as if we're recipients of an amazing grace. Too often, we act like we own the tree, like we're in charge and that we're here because of how great we are. God, remind us of our own story. Remind us of the grace that you've showered on us and help us to bring that grace with us everywhere we go. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. We are going to sing together, All Creatures of Our God and King. It's hymn number 347. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. I invite you to stand if you're able. Before we go, we have just a couple of quick announcements. Did you have an announcement? Yeah, so congratulations. We have a cake out there. So graduates, you get to be first in line for one of the privileges of the day. We also have friendship letters that are on the table outside the office. If you would please sign some of the friendship letters. They're on, they're purple and they're attached to a clipboard, so please take some time to sign those friendship letters. And just a reminder of who we are, who we're becoming as a church. Is to be growing deeper in our relationship with Jesus so that we can go into our community and be his hands and his feet. As you leave this place, go knowing that we serve a gardener that has grafted us into his family, and he has the power to graft others in as well. Go in peace. Amen.